Welcome to the Shift Gold Friday Gold Wrap, your weekly overview of precious metals and market updates. I'm your host, JD Bauman, and I'm here with my brother, Joel. Thanks for tuning in.
Listeners, thanks for being here with us. We are moving our weekly Friday recap from the mornings to the evenings. So you can check here every Friday evening for a recap of the whole week, not just through Friday morning, but through the whole close.
Perfect. Excellent. Big, ginormous monster week for gold and silver. We've been touting it for 2 months, the coiling, but the cork has popped and gold and silver have broken out. So big, big news. And it happened a week or two earlier than I thought it would, but Peter called it. He's vindicated. And all the bears out there, they were saying, this is it. Gold and silver are at their highs and it's just down from here. They were wrong. The contrarian play is gold's new floor is 2000 and it's going higher.
The cork has popped. Here, let me get into the numbers this week. Gold is at 2178. It's up 6%, $126 on the week. Silver is at 2430. It's up $1.65 on the week. The dollar index is currently at 102.74 and the VIX is up to 14.74. So we didn't get a touch on this last week, but prices rose considerably Friday afternoon.
This was after the recording we did on Friday morning.
Yep. So there's this Fed policy report that came out. It warned of possible financial sector risks. You know, they were making comparisons to a lot of the bank crises that we saw last year, and they were trying to encourage that it's not as bad as it was last year, but there is financial turmoil and risk from over leveraging. And so that Friday, we saw an 11% reduction, according to the CMA FedWatch tool, an 11% reduction of the number of investors who expected unchanged rates. So it was a big indication, you know, the Fed's worried they're going to lower rates. Gold went up on the news and it's been going up ever since.
Yeah. And it goes back to all this meta analysis. It's all Fed basis. What will or what won't the Fed do? We don't love covering the Fed every single week, but that's what drives gold and silver. And that's certainly the case now. Gold ripping higher, not only just passing the high, but closing on the week in the highs, which it's indicative of. This isn't a trend. This isn't your little shorts going to the top and then selling off type trend. We're off to the races, and this is going to be the year. We talked about it on our first couple of weeks, how 2024, we're going to have one of the biggest gold years ever. But in addition to that, we're not calling for like 10,000 gold or 3,500 gold in a year. We don't make pie in the sky predictions, but we look at momentum. We notice there's a lot of contrarian indicators. Peter pointed out that the retail indices like GLD, IAU, they had a $4.5 billion reduction in capital outflows of people selling out of these gold ETFs, presumably going into Bitcoin and things like that. But the point is this is not a retail rally. This is going to have legs. This is going to keep going, and it's going to go on for years to come. But more importantly than gold, so gold's at its highs. It closed at its all-time highs. JD, what liquid monetary asset is half its price, half its 1980 price?
It's
a softball, JD. What do we sell here at Shift Gold?
Platinum, gold? Palladium. It's silver. Yeah, silver is a bargain right now.
I've been on the phone all week. We've been very busy at Shift Gold. We've been had lots of clients order. A lot of people fill orders. If you are at all hesitant, and if you're one of those type that you just principally you will not buy at a high, gold is going higher. It's still very early. As I mentioned, we're going to keep trending higher through the year. But silver is still at half its price from its 1980 Hunt Brothers highs. And even that, the premiums still haven't taken off yet. So low premiums are still at play. People, as soon as we get any kind of pullback, premiums are going to shoot up as coin buyers in the retail market comes in. This is still the chance to take advantage of still relatively low prices. And again, silver is still in the 24 handle. It's up maybe 10% from the low.
What's the gold-silver ratio right now?
Gold to silver ratio, which is also, you can see it on shiftgold.com. It's right at 89.03. I didn't know if we would get back to the 90s one more time, but and maybe gold leads the charge a little bit longer here and we get up there. But silver is a bargain. It's a steal. Like, we're going to go back to its long-term historic ratio of 40-1. This is a principle, a foundation that a lot of buyers who just want more bang for their buck and looking for a higher volatility play, they can buy silver and they can look for. I don't want to call it a trade because it's a multi-year thing, but this is, silver is a steal. So I'm not going to get into, you know, this whole preamble is just, we've been talking about the range bound gold and silver for 2 months. So it's nice to get some action, get volatility that drives our business. So we've been busy taking orders. The premiums are still low. Nobody missed the boat. That's the main ethos of what I'm trying to say here without coming off as disingenuous or overly salesy, but for the longest time, it's just whenever we've gotten rallies for gold, our brokers have said, hey, maybe this is it. You know, you could slow down your buying for a little bit, but this rally, what is happening right now, this is the foundation of a rally that will last for years and years through the rest of the decade.
And I can't imagine that the Fed isn't happy with how the markets are taking this news. The Fed doesn't care so much about gold prices. They should. I mean, like Peter said, the fact that gold is going up is an indication that Fed policy is too loose. But I think many at the Fed and in that milieu think that it would be an existential crisis if Trump were to be reelected, if Biden were not to be reelected. You know, they want a set of nice economic conditions for a really cushy November for the establishment. And right now, the trajectory is that they're going to lower rates. I have no reason to see why they wouldn't want to continue with lower rates. And that's just going to mean higher and higher gold.
Yeah, they're always trying to protect the incumbent.
And like, even looking at stocks here, stocks are taking the news pretty well. I mean, you know, stocks aren't up anywhere near as much as gold is this past week, but stock investors are happy to see lower interest rates. That also goes into today's news. So gold went up even higher today on news of non-farm payroll numbers. So non-farm payroll numbers rose 275,000 for the month, topping a forecast of 198,000. I mean, you would think that this would give the Fed more reason not to cut rates, but there was a slightly higher than expected unemployment rate, which actually gives the Fed an excuse to continue cutting rates. So this mixed news.
Well, there is to cut you off there, JD, there is also, we were making a big deal about it a month ago. So there's only like two things the Fed's hanging their hat on. The 60 minute piece that Jerome Powell did for CNBC, he covered it, GDP and the jobs numbers. Those are the two things that they've been touting as the healthy, everything's fine. You know, they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. Economy's strong, and we don't have to cut rates right now. But the blowout jobs number, and we made a big deal about it a month ago, how this was one of the juiciest jobs in the numbers, 353,000 from, this was reporting on January's numbers that came out February, so a month ago when we talked about this, we were saying how it's mostly non, you know, part-timer jobs, and they're going to end up revising this thing. But even if they don't, the private numbers are going to end up, they're going to tell the whole story. And Peter mentioned it on his podcast a month ago, how household surveys show that there's actually a reduction in jobs numbers. The same thing happened this morning, where we did get a revised number. So the number that we touted, the 353,000, got revised down of 229,000. I don't think the market is just taking this rolling over. They're realizing that, hey, these one or two data points, that all is well, they're now being challenged and revised. And then the ADP numbers that came out this week, expected 150,000, came out to 140,000. So even the private sector numbers that are coming out, private payroll, they're worse than expected. I think the market's waking up to the fact that, hey, the it's all coming down to GDP now, I guess. And it's the little threads that the Fed is going to have, the arguments they can make to not cut rates are going away. Only thing missing, I guess, is just bank stress and then another liquidity crisis and maybe some asset prices falling.
Joel, looking back on the week, are there any other pieces of economic data that stuck out to you? I'm looking here at some announcements. The ISM services numbers declined from 53.4 to 52.6. We're also seeing some weakness in manufacturing. So factory orders in January are down. We're at the lowest number since COVID, just month after month of pretty shoddy manufacturing numbers. I really enjoyed in Peter's podcast this week when he was talking about that senator. Did you hear about that? The Democratic senator who was talking about abandoning the 2% inflation.
Oh, yeah. Target. That's like it became the 2% floor as opposed to the average.
Right. Like, yeah, we don't need a 2% inflation target. That's just something that came up in Auckland, New Zealand. And yeah, Peter astutely pointed out that this wasn't originally a target. Yes, this was a ceiling that if you were to come up to 2% inflation, you should start tightening conditions. And yet now it's transitioned into a target, not even a target, but a floor. Because in the last Fed minutes, there was a lot of language about coming back down to 2% and then re-engaging in loose policy that would push us back up to higher inflation. I mean, it's gotten everything backwards at this point.
That thinking is pervasive here, like because Janet Yellen's whole dissertation is like, you have to have inflation because you have to fool the wage earner because prices and wages are sticky. So at least if we have inflation, employers can be slow on their salary increases, basically incorporating the delta by the inflation of the actual prices paid, you know, in real terms to employees. You can get away with basically not keeping your salaries up with inflation. Anyway, it's just the whole Keynesian models are disingenuous at best, if not outright evil.
Well, on a positive
note, did you watch the State of the Union? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's not a very positive note. I did not watch the State of the Union. I went to bed early.
I caught a little bit of it. It's I don't know. It's a little bit cringy. I don't know. I don't know if I want to go down. I know Peter's going to cover it on his Sunday podcast. So, and he's more equipped to get into the political side than I am. Want to close the week on just a reminder of, you know, if people think the train left the station, I got into Shift Gold because I believe in Peter's messaging and I believe the dollar is terminal. It's going to take a while for this whole thing to play out. But if you think or you're hesitant on buying at these prices because you think you're buying the high, just wait 3 months, just wait 6 months, just wait a year, 2 years. Where gold's going to be and where silver's going to be is going to be so much higher. It's not going to be a flash in the pan. It's not going to be a rip to 3,000 overnight. It's going to happen over time. But the longer that you wait, premiums will go up and prices are just, it's going to cost more and more and more. And it's just, I would encourage people not to think of this as a trade, but you're buying physical for the long-term well-being of yourself and your family. And it's, if you got some extra dry powder, we've been vindicated. 2022 for silver are the new swing lows. Okay, you want to get people onto their weekend and sign us off with a quote of the week?
Yeah, we have something here from Chomsky. He said, "The smart way to keep people passive and obedient is to strictly limit the spectrum of acceptable opinion, but allow very lively debate within that spectrum." Sounds like much of the popular discourse today. Thank you for listening, and we will see you again next week.